We're really glad to be with you this morning. We go back a long ways. 1980s, anyone? From the 1980s when this church first began to support my ministry, and then after I married Carolyn, us together. So yes, we go back quite a few years. And I really appreciate the faithfulness of the Algona Church partnering with us. You have helped invest in three church plants in Venezuela, in a Spanish ministry in southern Minnesota, and any number of Latin American leaders that I've been privileged to teach and train. So want to start out, thank you for that. So we were in Venezuela, and beside the church planting, it was training leaders in the seminary, and also by extension, going out to different communities, villages, and training the leaders in the churches. Since we moved to the States, we have a special needs son. He's with us this morning. And since moving back to Minnesota, we've continued to be reaching out to Spanish speakers and training leaders online through a program called Prometa.
Now, you probably should tell them what... Jonathan, you can go stand out in the entryway if you want to. One thing he has is a hard time sitting still, and he's already sat still through Sunday school. So I know when he's ready to move. Some of you can relate, right? But anyway, Prometa, you better explain what that means.
Okay. Programa de Maestría de Educación Teológica Accesible.
You get that? That's just to prove that he speaks Spanish. Some people we get done and they say, and is it in Spanish? And yes, it's like, yes, it's in Spanish. We both speak Spanish every day, all the time, almost. But what that means is it's accessible theological education at a master's level.
That's right. So several years ago, quite a few years ago, number of us recognized the need for training more leaders. There were some good Bible schools and seminaries, but too few. And some leaders were not able to, say, pack up and move to another country. And then we had cases of people coming up to the States because they were given a scholarship and going to a liberal seminary, and then, you know, we lost them. So what could we do? And so Prometa was created to train leaders where they lived in their countries, in their communities, and provide an education with them.
And it's been exciting. We've been doing this, and you've probably heard about Prometa before, some of you, but we really want to let you know what some of the updates are, because there have been a lot of really exciting things happening in Prometa.
Right. We estimate that at least 26 countries, so we're literally all around. There's a Spanish-speaking country in Africa where we've had a student, believe it or not. But the student body has grown. During COVID, no problem, since we're mostly internet-based. We gained a lot of students during COVID. The student body is growing. We have a lot of new staff coming on board. And we have Latin Americans now as a director, as academic dean, chief financial officer, and head of the missions program. One of the master's programs that we offer is training Latin American missionaries who can go out around the world, some of them into countries where it would be difficult for a U.S. missionary to get in.
And that's the Master of Missions program.
Master of Missions, right.
And some of the other things, too, that Prometa is planning to have, they have their home base in Costa Rica now, but they're hoping in the next year or two to open up an office in Venezuela and also in Argentina. And also, just new next year is the opportunity they're going to be offering just a limited number of people first, a Doctor of Ministries program, which is really exciting, especially as we look forward to needing more leaders in Prometa that can teach at that level. That's really exciting. There's also, in the past few years, they've developed an undergraduate program, or a certificate program, they call it, and I've actually taken 5 of those courses. And so I can say as a student what a good program Prometa is. I just learned so much in each of those classes. But even more striking to me was that every class I took had a real spiritual emphasis, impact on me. Something would hit me that really had an impact on me. And I just was so excited, thinking, if this is happening to all of the students, that is really exciting.
And you'll be graduating, participating in graduation.
Well, it's not exactly graduating. They're going to give me a certificate.
Receive a certificate.
How far I've gotten, yep. So what have you been doing in Prometa? You should tell them.
So I've been part of the faculty, the privilege of teaching at different times, church planting, 1 Corinthians, discipleship, theology of the Christian life. And also I've been training the new online instructors that have been coming on board. So it kept me busy.
And in the meantime, in southern Minnesota, especially in the last few years, Fairmont has had a really, that's where we live, an increasing population of Spanish speakers. And the Bethel Church, the Bethel Free Church, we've been working there with their, for 20 years now, I think, with their Spanish congregation. It was really small for a long time. We just kept plotting. But it's really grown to be a pretty good-sized congregation now, and we're really excited about that. What? Yep, we're missionaries to Minnesota.
Yes.
And so we're excited to see that. And the Lord has also brought, and some of these are actually teachers that are in the school, that are, we have some Chilean teachers that are teaching English in the school, but he also preaches. And so he's preaching this morning while we're gone. So we're just thankful. And also, Tim hardly ever has to take out his accordion to accompany our music anymore because we have a guitarist. So we are really excited about that. He said preaching on Sunday was enough.
Yeah.
Playing the accordion was a little hard. But we're really thankful for what the Lord is doing there too. Now we're in a transition stage. And so really the end of April, because you get to that certain age, you know, where you kind of have to officially retire. And that's what we're going to do the end of April. But what are we going to do after that? You're going to go climb Mount Kilimanjaro?
Yeah.
Golf just, in Florida? Or what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, the golf would be a kind of a joke for me, but Mount Kilimanjaro, too. Seriously, you know, we plan to stay active in ministry. The Lord blesses me with a good mind and us. But we'll be in a volunteer basis, so we'll be going off the support structure of the mission, but we want to continue to be involved in these ministries as the Lord allows.
Mm-hmm. And some of that might involve even helping, like Tim has been involved in several of the ministerial licensing. Mm-hmm. What do they call those?
Yeah, the licensing councils. For example, about a month ago I was down at Alta, Iowa, where Pastor Renato went through and was ordained. He passed the ordination council, and so I get invited to those, and I want to continue to be supporting the district ministries here as well as in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. And probably Prometa, you probably won't be gone from Prometa. You're taking six months off, but I bet they'll want you back.
So, yeah.
I think so. But what are you doing then? What's happening to all your jobs that you did?
So, you know, part of our theme and our mission is develop, empower, and release. So we want to develop, empower, release nationals. And so I've been finding really, really good students of mine. That student could be a teacher. He could teach the courses I'm teaching, and even better. And so that's what I'm doing. I have someone named Abel in Venezuela, and he is teaching a couple of the classes that I helped to develop. And then there's someone named Fred. It's an unusual name for a Venezuelan, but Fred lives in the edge of the jungle in Venezuela. He works with the Gideons. He reaches out to indigenous people. And he was able to study down there in the edge of the jungle with us. He's really good. And I invited, hey, would you like to help me on this instructional course for new online teachers? And I said, sure. And he made it better. He reconstructed it on the platform, and I said, Fred, do you want to take this over now? And so Fred Garcia is going to be doing that.
Been working himself out of a job.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of update. That's our ministry. A little bit of update on our children. We have 3 children. Well, the oldest one, Joel, is out in Maryland. He is a physics research scientist trying to figure out. He works with very tiny little plasma physics things, but trying to figure out if they can predict solar flares. We don't understand most of what he does, but he tries to explain it. Our daughter Karen was a philosophy major, but she discovered she liked to do hands-on things, and she has become an heating, ventilation, and air conditioning journeywoman, and has really done some pretty amazing stuff. I didn't know how much science was involved, but if you want to know more about that, you can you can ask at people. That would have been the last thing you would thought she would do, but hey, she's doing it, and she's very humble about her system success she's had. And then Jonathan just graduated last spring from Shepherd's College in Union Grove, Wisconsin. And we always like to talk about this because not a lot of people have heard about Shepherd's College, but it's a three-year program for young people with developmental disabilities. And we can say nothing but good about that program. He is a changed person. You can't necessarily see it, you know, at first, but he is a changed person. We went to Costa Rica this summer, and he was at home in our house by himself for 13 days with a little bit of support. And he's just grown in many ways. And if anybody needs to know, has that kind of situation, we just really, there are wonderful people who minister to kids. Heaven and 8 hours away, that was a new thing for all of us, but God has really blessed and provided the finances. So right now, one of our prayer requests, though, is we're looking for a job and housing for him, which is the next step. So yeah. I'm going to let you finish.
Well, I want to thank you again. I think about, you know, a church out here in the prairies of Iowa has invested in the training of any number of people in Venezuela or Chile or Spain, in pastors, leaders of student ministries. You know, the Lord multiplies
Tim,
those dollars.
Tim, I forgot to say, one of the students I was on in my class, he said he took what had been taught, he had learned, and taught it to 60 other people. I mean, it's just really exciting. Another course is, even while we were taking it, they were developing Sunday school classes about this same topic. So, yeah. I mean, it really is exciting. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Was a very good interruption. So, yes, so, you know, Lord bless you for all that you're doing, not only and have done in our ministry, but in other missionary missions outreaches. So, thanks for that. We do have some literature about Reach Global and the table back in the foyer, so feel free to look at that as well. And we want to look at God's word this morning. This church has been going through the book of Ephesians. Wow. It's rich. And we're going to turn for a few moments to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1 through verse 6. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, says, "For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men, in other generations, as it has now been revealed with holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." Father, may you use this passage, these words penned by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for our encouragement and edification. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul here several times in this passage refers to a mystery. And I checked different translations, and most of them say mystery or something like that. Now, when we talk about a mystery, maybe some of you think like of an Agatha Christie novel. or maybe, you know, you're thinking it's a mystery what I'm going to give to so-and-so for Christmas, you know. Or it's a mystery what we're going to come up with for supper tonight. You know, we could go a little astray in that when Paul uses this term here, he's referring to something more profound, referring to something that human understanding alone would not be able to come up with. It's something that God has revealed, and in this case, something that had been unknown previously, but now it's made known. And that Paul and other apostles and prophets had made known something that previously had been only in the mind of God. And In order to understand this passage, I think we need to understand the background here. In ancient times, there was this antagonism between Jew and non-Jew, between Jew and Gentile, and the animosity between them was as bad, likely worse than any antagonism exists between any races, any groups of people in the world today. Now, there are conflicts going on, there are wars currently going on. Today, in the Middle East, Jew, Israeli, and Palestinian, there is a lot of animosity. This is the world we live in. Jew and Gentile were not on friendly terms back in Paul's day. There was only certain place. There were only certain places that Jews, that non-Jews could enter in the temple. There was an outer court of the Gentiles, and they could come into there. But there was a barrier before you passed further in to the temple, and there was a sign, or there were signs that said, Gentiles may not go further into the temple. And this was under the threat of death. So Jews and Gentiles, they, you know, when it came in the minds of Jews, they were not on friendly terms. So in the light of this, the mystery that Paul reveals is remarkable indeed. And I think I'm going to start in verse 6 with what is the mystery, and then we're going to work backwards. But first of all, I want to say what the mystery is not, or what is not new about this message. It's not new that other nations would be blessed through the descendants of Abraham. Now, when God called Abraham, he said, through you and through your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. We see hints of this in the Old Testament. Joseph, a descendant of Abraham, was used of God to spare the nation of Egypt from the ravages of famine. And we see the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as being a channel of blessing to the nations. That's not new. That wasn't new when Paul wrote this. Nor is it new that Gentiles could be saved, that they could be right with God. We also have examples, as you read about the story of Ruth. I think no one would doubt that Ruth was right with God, that her soul was saved. Or we think of Rahab, or we think of even, I think, King Nebuchadnezzar, who was humbled and who confessed the God of heaven. So we have Gentiles who were being made right with God by grace through faith in the Old Testament. So what is new then? It is new that through the blood of Christ, Jew and Gentile are being brought together as fellow citizens with equal status, equal rights, and joined together in one body. That was remarkable. That was a new revelation. The Gentiles were in the plane. If you fly in the plane, there's first class and there's second class. You know, I'll take the cheaper tickets. If they ever bump me up to the first class, I'll take it. So before, the Gentiles could get in the plane, but they were not first class. They were brought in. Now it was going to be, everybody is the same. Everybody has an equal standing before God. And Paul says here in verse 6, members of one body. It's harder to get any closer or more united than that. If my tooth hurts, my whole body, it doesn't just feel right. We're joined together, Jew and non-Jew, people of any nation are joined together as one in Christ. Now remember, the Jews had shared a common ancestry. They were descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, common ancestry. They had a common history. Think of the deliverance at the Red Sea. Think of the time when Jerusalem was surrounded and the armies of Sennacherib were ready to take Jerusalem, and they were Jerusalem was miraculously delivered. There are a whole series of things. Israel had a national identity, a history. Then they also had a hope. They looked forward to their Messiah, who who was going to make things right, who was going to throw off the yoke of the oppressor, and he was going to fulfill the hopes of the people. They had a common hope, and they had a law. There were certain foods that you could not eat. There was a rite that every male needed to go through to be a full-fledged member of the people of God. There was a calendar. There was a priesthood. There was all of this. The Jews had common ancestry, a history, a hope, and a law. Now, there were Gentiles who, at the time of Jesus, could come into the synagogue and, yeah, they would be welcomed in. There were certain things they needed to do, and then they could be sort of included, kind of go through a Jewish initiation. Now, Paul is saying, we're in a new day. We're forming the people of God. We're forming churches, and anyone who has faith in Jesus the Messiah can become a part of the body of Christ and begin to follow him in loving obedience. It's faith in Christ. That's the deal. You don't have to go through all of the Jewish cultural and religious rites. Now, that was pretty revolutionary. That was very revolutionary. And it got Paul in trouble. It got Paul in trouble. So he gets beaten and thrown in prison. So now people from any nation could become members of one body without distinction, regardless of their background. So that's the mystery. That's the new revelation. To whom was it made known? Paul says in verse 5, to the holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit. Paul among them, especially to Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. I think it's fascinating that this message was given to a Pharisee of the Pharisees, to someone who had been the most strict observer of the Jewish law and who had gone from city to city to persecute Christians, followers of Jesus, followers of the way. But he was converted, became a believer in Jesus the Messiah. And not only converted, he began to preach the gospel of grace through faith in Christ. And not only did he begin to preach the gospel, but he planted churches, and he'd go out to plazas and schools and wherever he could get a group of people to hear him and invite people to trust in Jesus and then plant churches, and Jew and Gentile, throw them all together in one local church. Amazing. I'm thinking about this. I'd say here is one more among any number of evidences for the Christian faith. Who could have imagined this? If this was a human invention, there's no way that it would have happened. This was God working. As Paul says here, Paul had received a stewardship of God's grace that was given to him. Verse 2. It was of grace that God called him and commissioned him as an apostle to the Gentiles and to share this message that all alike could be brought into the body of Christ, into the people of God. So how was it made known? By God's grace, by revelation, verse 5. It's been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And again, verse 2, it's a stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. This was God revealing a new day, a new epic in the history of redemption. This concept of international, interracial family joined together as one body. Now, for Paul's readers, this gave insight. Verse 4, he says, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. So these Gentile believers gained a new insight into who God is and into his grace and into his love, that God was now preparing a beautiful bride for his son from every nation. For Paul, this message meant suffering. And here we're going back to verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Now, my understanding is there Paul is about to break into a prayer here, which ultimately he starts in verse 14, but then, oh, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. And he's going to talk about that. A prisoner. Interesting. Prisoner of Christ, not a prisoner of Rome. He was. But Paul understood that he was a prisoner of Christ, first and foremost. And he said, it's for your sake. He, more than any other apostle, broke all the barriers of culture and tradition and shared the message of God's grace with those who were not Jews. And so the Jewish leaders were against him, and they'd start riots, and they got him arrested, and here he is in chains, suffering for the gospel. He'd become all things to all men that he might by all means save some. So prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. So, wonderful truth that there's this new people of God. And I'll say, by the way, I don't think this means that every promise made to ethnic Israel goes by the wayside. I'm of the opinion that there are still promises made to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that will be fulfilled. And I think we look for those promises to be fulfilled. But at this time, God is forming this intercultural, interracial, international people to be the bride for his son. Beautiful. So how do we respond to this? It's interesting history. I think, first of all, we're not to be proud. We're not to be proud. Did it ever occur to you that we weren't the first ones around, you know? Any descendants of Abraham here today? We got in on this. You know, this is not something to be boasted about. Wow, we are not Jews. We are not descendants of Abraham, but he let us in, and on equal terms. It behooves us to be humble. And I think it behooves us to pray for the Jewish people, that more of them would be a part of this body, because they, it's to the Jew first, and they were the channel and continue to be the channel. So we are not to be proud, but rather grateful. Then too, I think we may be confident, whatever our background. Now, I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. My grandparents were believers. Now, if you trace my ancestry back far enough, you're going to come to the Vikings. And they pillaged villages, and they were ruthless and killed people, and just not very nice people at all. That's my ancestry. But by grace, and because of the gospel, because of the influence, the gospel of Christ, here I am today, and I owe it to a whole lot of people that God used in my life and the lives of my ancestors. So, but we can be confident, whatever our background, and none of us needs to feel second class, you know, whatever your background. Maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home. Maybe you're still learning and figuring out all the Christian business, and you don't know all the right language and the vocabulary. Everybody can participate. What a beautiful picture, the Lord's Supper, as we partake together. Twice a year, our Hispanic group, El Camino, we worship together with the English-speaking congregation. And we do everything in both languages. We're not going to leave anyone in the dark. So, you know, it's just kind of back and forth, English and Spanish, and one verse in English and one verse in Spanish in the song. And we take communion together. And I want to make sure, you know, those are great Sundays. We want to take communion together because our Spanish-speaking people who come from Guatemala and Puerto Rico and Mexico, or they grew up in this country, but they're Spanish speakers, and they partake of the same bread, and they partake of the same cup. We're equal at the foot of the cross, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. In this day when there seems to be so much antagonism and everyone is out to, you know, everyone's just mad to say in Christ, whatever our background, whatever country we're from, whatever our race, whatever our culture, We are one in Christ, in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Then finally, it is for us to do everything we can to promote and foster unity in the body of Christ. If God could take Jew and Gentile in Paul's time and put them together in a local church, then he can work with us. We're not all going to be alike. Even in a congregation that, you know, you all speak English. Right? We all speak English. We're all English speakers here this morning. But, you know, we think differently on some things. We're not all going to agree on everything. But to keep in front and center the fact that Christ has reconciled us to himself, to God, through the blood of his cross, and he's reconciled us to one another, whatever our background. That's worth working for and fighting for. Not compromising on essential doctrines, but on all those areas where we may otherwise disagree and say, let's come together and let's work this out and let's promote the unity and show the world that as Christians, we can get along with each other, that Christ has broken and surpassed every barrier culturally, racially, nationally. And then again, no one to feel second class. No one to feel second class. We did mention this earlier, but sometimes we talk about disabilities, and that's another theme we have, as we recognize that people with disabilities, as they come into our churches, we want to make sure that they're welcome. And what can we do? What can we do to make it work so that they feel fully a part of the body? Never know who's going to walk through the door, the front door or the back door. And so we're working for the unity of the body of Christ. And final thought, a week from today, they're doing a women's activity in the Bethel Church. They're calling it Nativity. They're having a tea, Nativity. And they said, well, we have our Latino ladies. Well, we want them to be a part of it. There's 18 signed up, something like that. We get to think, the person who's talking speaks English. We have to figure this out. So we're getting, you know, devices, headphones, and I'll be translating, and a little bit of an inconvenience. But hey, for the sake of the unity of the body of Christ, we can do it, and we want to do it. Well, may the Lord bless you, and be encouraged that God is doing something wonderful in our day, and regardless of a lot of bad news, and there's plenty of bad news, God is at work. He continues to be forming his body from every tribe and every nation. And may we continue to be a part of that. Father, thank you. What a wonderful thing you're doing. And just thinking of this congregation here and decade after decade, continuing to be a light in this community, continuing to be in instruments as they have invested money in a number of missionary ministries. Thank you. May you encourage them today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.